Father, we thank thee for this wonderful moment. We thank you for Stephen. We thank you for Max. We thank you for Jose. We thank you for these precious brothers, Lord, that we could come into thy presence. We thank you that heaven comes to earth when we worship thee, because you said, I will walk in them, I will move among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And we thank you for John 17, where you said, Father, I will that they may be one, even as you and I are one. And as we ascend to the throne of God, and as we blend with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and as we worship thee in truth and spirit, we pray, Father, that the words that thou speaks unto us will not be out of the mouth of man, will not originate out of the heart or mind of man, but will come from the heart and the throne of Almighty God. Even as you said in Psalm 46, there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of our God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. We thank you, we praise you, we exalt you, and unto you be the honor, riches, and glory, and blessing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Today we turn to Matthew chapter 14, and let's for a moment take a glimpse of what God did in Matthew chapter 14. The people were hungry. Jesus fed them 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We've seen a stampede recently because everyone has gone to the grocery store and cleared out all the shelves because they are worried that maybe they won't get what they need. And, well, I was also one of them because I didn't want to lose my favorite oatmeal. So I went and got my favorite strawberry oatmeal, 4 packets, and I stacked them up in the house. So these people came to hear the voice of Jesus, the message of Jesus. Many days they were hungry. And Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed the multitude. Everyone was filled, and there were 12 baskets full, and the people as well as the disciples were amazed at what Jesus did. Now, the disciples, they ate some really good food. They wanted to hang around with Jesus. They said, Jesus, we really don't want to go. You can take these 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed the multitude. You know, this is wonderful. It's like manna falling from heaven, like in the Old Testament. So we don't want to leave you. We'll just stay with you. But Jesus said, no, I have to go and pray to my Father, and I want you to go. It took a little bit of convincing for Jesus to try to get his disciples to get into a ship. It says in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of convincing because the disciples were used to going with Jesus. Jesus said, I am not coming now. You guys go in the ship and get to the other side. We have a great ministry. And they asked him, well, if you're not coming, then how are you going to come? Because there's no boats here. He said, listen to me, brothers, you get into the ship, get to the other side. I have to pray. And then Jesus spent time sending the multitude away. The multitude didn't want to leave either. Here's food. You don't need a grocery store. You don't need McDonald's. You don't need a Denny's restaurant. You don't need anything. Here's Jesus, God Almighty. He can create food, 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed the multitude. And they didn't want to go either. Jesus spent some time, blessed them, and sent them away. And then he went to his secret place, high up a mountain, to pray to his Father. He was all alone. Now, the scene shifts to the ocean. Verse 24 of Matthew 14 says, the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Jesus told them to go. They told Jesus they didn't want to go. Jesus forced them to go. And now it's in the middle of the ship, in the middle of the ocean. this is a very bad situation. There's a big storm. The waves are beating. I'm sure the disciples must have said, you know, we told the master, this is why we don't want to go in the ocean without you. We told him, but he forced us to come. See, now we are all going to die. Look at that. There's no escaping from this kind of storm. But you know, when we actually think that there is no more hope, when we actually think that nothing is happening, we've prayed for years, we've done so many things, we've served the Lord faithfully, and nothing has happened. There's a saying that when we think nothing is happening, something is happening. In the fourth watch of the night, very dark, Jesus didn't need a boat. He came to them walking on the water. Jesus always comes at the right time. He's never too early. He's never too late. He's right on time. Whatever happens, coronavirus or earthquake or whatever happens on this planet, Jesus will come to his children. Now, Jesus didn't go anywhere. He came to where his disciples were struggling, to where his children were struggling. That's why the book, in the book of Isaiah, Jesus says, can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget. So many babies are being aborted in the U.S. by moms. And that's why Jesus said, even these may forget, but lo, I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee on the palms of my hand. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus didn't come walking on the water for a physical exercise. He came walking on the water because his children were in a desperate situation. Today I met a nurse and she was telling me about the desperate situation. To me and my wife, one of our family friends in the hospitals, people are dying left and right. Every few minutes they hear the word code blue, which means someone else has died of coronavirus. Things are very dismal. Things are very desperate. And then when the disciples see Jesus, the answer to their prayer, what do? They don't say, Jesus, hallelujah, we are so excited to see you. No. They were so worried, they thought the death angel had come to take them. And they screamed and shouted out, saying, God, save us, the death angel is coming. And Jesus said, be calm, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Same thing God said in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. So what does it mean? Jesus was saying, yeah, I know there's a storm outside. I know the waves are beating on the ship, but nothing is going to happen. Relax. And then the situation totally changes. Peter says, if Jesus, you're the one walking on the water, why am I going to get worried about waves, about storm, about cyclone, about hurricane, about tornado? I want to walk on the water just like you, Lord Jesus, like our little kids want to walk in the daddy's boots. Jesus said, come. And we know what happened. Distraction leads to destruction. Distraction leads to destruction. Was Peter called to walk on the water? Yes. Was Peter chosen? Amen. So, distraction leads to destruction. Peter was called, Peter was chosen to walk on the water. When he started walking on the water, he was like a little kid. Oh, wow. I've never surfed in my life. This is awesome. I can ride on the waves up and down without even a surfboard. But then the demons started making the waves go higher. He started hearing the howling of the demonic spirits, the howling of the wind, the waves. They told him, "Hey, Peter, I am going to get you. You're going to be dead. You're going to drown." And he looked at them, listened to them. He got distracted. He almost led his life to destruction with the distraction. He went down. Maybe his head was up. Probably he went down his shoulder and just his head. He tried swimming. Nothing worked. He said, "Jesus, save me." And Jesus lifted him up by the hands. So what happened after Jesus lifted him up by the hands? Jesus did not carry Peter. Peter walked on the water. This time he understood that, yes, the Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." Yes, we can walk on the water. We can raise the dead. We can do anything. We can tell the sun and moon to stand still, and it'll stand still. But all this we need to do holding the hands of Jesus. Jesus needs to tell us, "Come out, walk on the water." Jesus needs to tell us, "Yes, now you can tell the sun to stop." Jesus needs to tell us, "James has died. He's in the mortuary. I want you to go and lay hands on him." We need to be connected with Jesus. We need to be connected with the Holy Spirit. We need to do exactly what Jesus tells us. Doing what Jesus tells us is ministry. So, distraction could have led to destruction. However, because Jesus lifted up Peter, the distraction that could have led to destruction actually ended up helping Peter understand how to focus. Peter learned that when you walk on the water, which resembles the problems and challenges we have in this life, number one, you shouldn't get distracted. Next, you need to hold the hands of Jesus when you walk. And so Peter learned to hold the hands of Jesus and started walking with Jesus. He focused on Jesus. He didn't want to look at the waves anymore because that's how he felt. So his eyes were fixed on Jesus. He held Jesus' hands real hard. He clasped the hands of Jesus with his life. And the focus on Jesus led to faith. Focus led to faith. There's a song, "Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the sea. Put your hand in the hand of the man who gave his life for you and me. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee." Distraction could have led to destruction, but instead, Peter took the hands of Jesus and began to focus on Jesus. That focus created faith. Peter learned to walk on the water. And because he learned to walk on the water and depend on Jesus, Peter's dependence on Jesus led to determination. He became bold. He became brave. He now realized that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him by looking and focusing on Jesus and by holding his hands very tightly. That fellowship with Jesus led to victory over the environment. How did it lead to victory? The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 14 and in all the other Gospels that Peter held and clasped the hands of Jesus, and both of them walked from wherever Jesus was. See, here's what I actually think happened. Jesus was quite far away, and it was dark, and they could not recognize him. So Peter actually walked quite a distance looking at Jesus. When he got very close to Jesus, Suddenly he got distracted and looked at the waves and heard the wind. And Jesus took him by the hand. And he learned how to focus on Jesus, fellowship with Jesus. I'm sure he might have even hugged Jesus. And then Peter, holding the hand of Jesus, walked quite a long distance on the water. Peter and Jesus walked on the water and came back to the boat. Now, it's very interesting because we don't see any record where either Jesus or Peter said, "Peace, be still." But when Peter and Jesus climbed into the boat, both of them walking on the water, the wind died down, the waves quietened down, and fellowship with God led to victory over the environment. It's a little disappointing because the other 11 disciples didn't have this experience of how to focus, how to depend, and how to have fellowship. But Peter's little boy faith, if Dad can walk on the water, I can too. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Peter could have told Jesus, "You know, Lord, I tried, I fell, you had to rescue me. I'm done with this walking on the water. I'm done. I don't want to walk on the water anymore." No, Peter did not give up. He walked on the water. So what happened? This ordinary man one day was walking in the streets of Jerusalem, and a shadow, and Peter's shadow fell on the sick people. Peter's shadow fell on the dead people, and whoever was touched by Peter's shadow was healed. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Since I'm going to the Father, you will do greater miracles than I have done. Jesus laid his hand, Jesus spoke, and Jesus healed. But there's no instance in the Gospels where the shadow of Jesus healed people. And Jesus was now living inside Peter, manifesting his power in a greater level of power and authority and healing and resurrection, because he was the resurrected Christ. And even the shadow of Peter healed people because Peter did not want to give up. The Holy Spirit was now in Peter. The Ark of the Covenant was now in Peter. You know, we see in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant was in the house of Dagon, the idol, the demon that ruled over the Philistines. When they got up in the morning, Dagon was fallen before the Ark of the Covenant. The hands were cut off, and they realized that the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of the true God of Israel. So what happened to the Ark of the Covenant? Today, we are the Ark of the Covenant because the Word of God is written in us. The Holy Spirit is residing in us. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is residing in us. One of our pastors in India went on a ministry, and they saw these Hindu gods, tall, 10 feet tall, demon statues, standing there with a sword in their hand. And then they thought in their mind, if I am the Ark of the Covenant, if the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost resides in me, and if Dagon, the Philistine god, fell before the Ark of the Covenant, why is this idol still standing before me? And then they went to the ministry and came back. And when they came back, the Holy Spirit said, look at that idol. And they saw that the hand of the idol was chopped off. And then God said, what I did in the Old Testament, I will do in a greater degree in the New Testament. You children are my Ark of the Covenant, and before you all demons shall bow. That is why the demon said, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? The demons fell and knelt down before Paul, and Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you power and authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Coronavirus or swine flu or cat flu or dog flu or lion flu, nothing is going to touch us because we are children of Almighty God. When the bubonic plague hit Africa, a missionary in Africa was burying thousands of people. He asked for help from England, and they said, okay, we'll send a team of doctors. And they all came and started giving medicine. And then they asked this man of God, how come you buried thousands of people and the bubonic plague didn't touch you? He said, because I am not under the law. I am under grace. I am under the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit resides in me. I am part of the church of the living God. Jesus Christ is inside me. I am holding the hands of Jesus. I am focusing on Jesus. And they said, prove it to us. And he said, go ahead and take the virus from the body of these dead people and see if it is still alive. And they took the virus from the bubonic plague virus from the body of the dead people. And it was still alive. And he said, now go ahead and put it on my hand and examine it under a microscope. And they put it on this man of God's hand and examined it under a microscope. And what they found was that the virus, when the virus hit the hand, was put on the hand of this man of God who was ruled by the Holy Spirit, who was holding the hands of Jesus. The virus instantly died. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. No plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. We are children of Almighty God. We are protected. We have a wall of fire around us. So we should pray for the sick and for the afflicted, that God will use this sad situation to bring a revival over all the earth. That people who are on ventilators, people who are in distress, people who are having the symptoms of coronavirus will reach out to the Lord God Almighty, who has power over all the works of the enemy, including this coronavirus, and heal them and bring them back to God. May this pain that is happening all over the world result in revival. May God bless these words and strengthen us. May we comfort the weak, strengthen the fearful, and encourage and uplift those who are distressed. May God bless these words and strengthen us and make us a blessing to this planet through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.